Our first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 18, and our second reading is from Mark chapter 10. Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you. Deuteronomy 11, verses 18 to 21. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols to your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land of the Lord, in the land the Lord swore to give to your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. And then from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 to 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them.
Okay, now I'm going to need you kids to give us a lot of help this morning as we're looking at God's word. And I wonder, kids, teenagers, you can join in too. What is a legacy? Does anyone know what a legacy is? Who wants to have a guess? What's a legacy? Anyone know? Oh, I see a hand right down the back. Yes. Something to do with years. Legacy with years. Well, yeah, that's a good guess. Yeah, it has sort of kind of does have something to do with that. Maybe one of the adults could help us out. What's a legacy? Who wants to have a go? A legacy is what you leave behind you. Now, have a look at this picture. Who knows what that is? That's right, it's a helicopter. No, it's a boat. And what is the boat doing? What's it leaving behind? A wake and a wash. It leaves behind, you know, a legacy. So that after that boat's gone, that water will still be sort of heading out, that wash, that wake will still keep going out like a wave that grows and grows. And we all, like boats going through the water, leave a legacy. We all leave ways that we've affected the world. And I wonder, have a look at this person. What kind of legacy do you think this person might leave? What do you reckon? They look like they're doing some science. Maybe that's blood in their tube. Maybe they're going to cure a disease or something, or invent some new medicine. That might be their legacy. What about this next person? What do you reckon their legacy might be? Yes, Isabella. They're building a bridge. They might build some buildings or some roads or something. That might be their legacy. And what about this person? What do you think their legacy might be? What are they doing? They're teaching kids, changing lives, teaching, passing on information, helping kids grow and face the world. What about this next person? What do you reckon their legacy might be? We'll wait and see, but maybe we'll have some good laws, maybe make Australia a little bit better place to live in. See, everybody leaves a legacy, right? But like the legacy that a boat leaves behind, what's going to happen to that wake, those waves, after a little while? They'll disappear, won't they? They'll disappear. Their legacy lasts for a little while and then doesn't last forever. And see, most legacies that people leave behind, even the really, really impressive people who do really amazing things, even their legacy is a bit like the wake on that boat. It sort of goes out, it might make a big wave for a little while, but then eventually it disappears. But there is a legacy that lasts forever. And both of our passages this morning talk about that legacy of welcoming, inviting, and teaching children to hang on to Jesus And so they enter God's eternal kingdom. So our big idea this morning is there is no greater legacy. There's nothing greater that you can leave behind than to pass on the gospel to future generations. This legacy lasts forever. Well, there, have a look there at Mark 10, the passage that Debbie read for us earlier. We see that Jesus' disciples, they tried to stop parents bringing their kids to Jesus. They thought these kids were a waste of Jesus' time. Now, these weren't just big kids. This word actually means little kids as well, infants, kids as young as newborns. And so these little kids, the disciples probably thought, oh, these kids are just in the way. Jesus didn't come to, you know, kiss babies. Jesus got to talk to more important people, people who can do something for God's kingdom. But Jesus said to them, have a look, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. Don't stop them. Don't try and block them from coming. For the kingdom of God belongs to people like these. See, God's kingdom isn't just for adults, it's for kids too. And we must not hinder or stop little kids coming to learn about Jesus. But actually, it's more than that, because the whole Bible tells us that disciples of Jesus need to do more than just not hinder kids from coming to Jesus, but actually that all Christians should be actively involved in teaching, inviting, welcoming in children and young people in God's kingdom. Have a look at that first passage that Debbie read in Deuteronomy 11. Here God was giving a message to the people of Israel before they entered the promised land. And there in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, God's message for Israel after hearing his word, after hearing the law, hearing the scriptures, was this: fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors. How many days do you think? Well, he tells us, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Now, kids, adults, I want you to just hold out your hand. And now I want you to get your Bible, imaginary Bible. Now I want you to tie it on, okay? Tie it on there. Okay, and then it's going to be a bit awkward because you've got a Bible on your hand now. You're going to get another Bible and you're going to put it on your forehead and then just wrap that on, okay? And then we're going to go up to the door and we're going to put Bible verses across the top and then go out to your front gate and put Bible verses out there. Kind of funny things to do, don't you think? Why do you think he wants us to do that? Why did God say to do that? See, what God is saying, actually, make sure that all of you, God's word is everywhere all the time. Make sure you can see it. Make sure you've got to step past God's word to get out the door, to get out the gate. Make sure when you wash your hands, you're being reminded of what God has said, his wonderful promises. Make sure that when you look in the mirror, you're reminded of what Jesus has done for you. Make sure that you're talking about God's word, talking about Jesus, whether you're at home or whether you're away or whether you're sitting or walking or going to sleep or waking up. Be saturated with God's word all the time and share it with each other of all ages. Well, why does God want us to do that? Because he doesn't want it just written all around the place. It's no good if God's word is written all over your home, if you tattoo it on your forehead, if it doesn't get into our minds and our hearts. See, we need God's word to get from here to here, into our heads and our hearts. Fix these words in your hearts and minds, God says. See, the word that God has given us is actually even better than the word that God had given the Israelites before they went into the promised land. See, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, tells us that actually Jesus fully obeyed and fulfilled all the laws that the Israelites never could. All the laws that we never could, because we too sin. And the good news, the gospel tells us that actually, because Jesus has been our ultimate sacrifice, in trusting him, we will enter into his everlasting kingdom. There's a wonderful psalm in Psalm 78. You see it on the screen. The psalmist says, "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power, and the wonders he has done." Why? He goes on to say in the next verses, "So that the next generation will know what God has said and done. They will put their trust in God. They will not forget what he's done. They will keep his commands and not have hearts that turn away from God." See, we need to be people, every one of us, where everywhere and every time we're saturated with God's word, and that we're sharing it with one another and sharing it with the younger generations, so that it gets from out here into our minds and our hearts. So, how do we do that practically? Do we tie, you know, scrolls and verses onto our hands, and what do we do? Well, we're going to get real practical. First, we see we've got a job for everyone. So this is everyone in the room. So whether you're young or you're old, you've got kids, you don't have kids, you've got grandkids, you don't have grandkids, all of us, God expects to be involved in passing on the gospel to future generations. Well, how? Three ways. Pray. Pray for the kids and the teenagers that you know. If you don't know any, look around. There's plenty here. You might not even know their names. That's okay. God knows who they are. The ones at church, in your family, in your street, in your community. Pray that those who aren't saved will be saved. Pray that those who are saved will be discipled and taught and grow and mature in the faith. Pray for kids' church. Pray for gig youth. Pray that they're safe. Pray they have fun. Pray that they come to know and experience how good God is and grow in him. Pray that God will give you opportunities. Actually, he does give us opportunities. Pray that actually you'll be able to make the most of those opportunities to pass on the gospel to the next generation. Pray, invest in our ministries. You can serve in kids' church or in our youth team. Maybe you might think you can't. Well, actually, I know there's a few people in this room who have said to me, "Oh, you know, I don't really think kids or youth is for me." And yet, they've started serving, and they've grown to see just how they've loved these kids. They've loved these teenagers. They've grown to see how valuable this ministry is, and they love it. They're doing a fantastic job. Maybe they still find it hard, but God's using them. Maybe you. Or maybe you feel like, no, that's really not me. I really am not the right person to be in there with the kids or the youth. Well, actually, you can join another team, which, as all of our teams are going strong, means that actually some people will be freed up to jump in to our kids and youth teams. So you can pray, you can invest, and you can give. And we need to grow the work that we're doing. We need to be able to, in the future, employ a pastoral staff to invest in next-gen ministry. And when we give to the ministry now, we're actually investing in the future to try and make that happen. And the last, pray, invest, engage. It's a long weekend. Lots of families are away. There's still quite a few kids and youth here. You know, you can actually talk to them at morning tea. You can talk to them as you first come in. You can remind yourself that they're members of our church family, just like all the bigger people. I was at church once with a woman who had Down syndrome, and every time I saw her, she was chatting to a child or a teenager. She was talking to them about what they learnt in kids' church that day. She was reminding them how good Jesus was. We can all do that. It starts with a smile. Starts with being friendly. Maybe you're going to come down to their level if they're real little. Ask some questions. What did you learn in kids' church this morning? Tell me about that craft. Who's this guy? What did he do? What does that tell us about God? Wow. God's really awesome, isn't he? Does that make you love him more? Maybe you can chat to some of our teenagers. Ask what their week's been like. Ask what they've learnt this morning. Ask them what they're thankful to God for and what you can pray for. That's a job for all of us, to pray, to invest, to engage. But now there's a job for kids. Kids, I'm talking to you guys now. I've got a special job for you. God's got a special job for you, so I need you to make sure you've got your ears switched on, okay? You guys got your ears switched on? If you're a kid, I need you to stand up, all right? Ready? Jump up. Stand up, kids. And whenever I say something, you need to say, "Sir, yes, sir." Okay, can you do that? All right, you ready? Let's have practice. When I tell you something, you've got to say, "Sir, yes, sir." Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. Are you a kid? Are you following Jesus? Come on, you lousy lot. You can do better than that. Are you following Jesus? Then God has a job for you too. Are your ears switched on? Do you have friends who are kids? Do you know kids who are younger than you? Then it's your job to help them learn about Jesus too. All right, sit down. That'll do. I'm impressed with the youth. I didn't think you guys would stand up. Good on you. See, this job's for you as well, guys. You guys know kids. You've got friends. You've got siblings, brothers and sisters. There's younger kids at church. There's other kids your age. And God wants you too to be helping them to know Jesus. And you too can pray. Pray for your friends and your brothers and sisters. Pray for those who don't know Jesus to come to know him. Pray that God will help you be brave in inviting them and in telling them about how great Jesus is. You can pray for your parents and your kids' church leaders and your gig leaders as they help teach you about Jesus. And you can invest too. You can try and make sure you don't miss out. Maybe tell your parents, "Hey, Mum and Dad, I really don't want to miss out on church or on gig." You can make it really easy for them. Do you know how you can make getting to church easy for Mum and Dad? How do you reckon? You can get up early. You can maybe make them, if you're old enough, you know, the breakfast or a cup of tea. You can get dressed so they're not having to chase you out the door. You kids can make it a lot easier to get to church each week and remind Mum and Dad just how important and special it is. And, you know, if you can read, you can ask Mum and Dad to get you some books that will really help you come to know Jesus more and more as you read them at home. And then you can engage. When you come to church or when your parents are reading with you or praying with you, listen really hard. Be easy to teach, not a pain in the backside. Don't distract other kids or your siblings. You can engage. You can invite your friends and pay attention. And in church, you can, when you hear something, you can go and ask Mum and Dad, "What did that mean? What was the pastor talking about?" All right, now I'm going to talk to parents last. Kids, you can keep listening so you can remind your parents, okay? Last job is a job for parents. Parents too can pray. I encourage you if you're a parent. Now, I can be lousy at this at times. I wish I could say that every single day of my kids' lives I've prayed for them, but I know that there would be days that I haven't. Parents, let us pray for our kids, that God's word will go into their hearts and minds, not just change their behavior. Pray for your own faithfulness as a parent. Pray for God's help because we need it. Invest in your kids. Go and do some homework. Read, listen to some good books or podcasts about how to be a good Christian parent. Talk with your spouse. Talk with other Christian parents and get advice and ideas and make a plan together, which will probably fall apart, but that's okay. You can keep working at it. And then engage. If you don't have any formal time as a family where you read the Bible, where you pray, you might do that all together. You might do that just sort of one-on-one with different kids. Can I encourage you? That's just so beneficial and so important. And then look for that informal time, that on the road, that as you sit, that as you wake. You can chat to and from church, to and from gig, chats in the car on the way to school, chats around the dinner table. Those same questions. What have you learned? What are you finding hard about following Jesus lately? What do you love about Jesus? Look for opportunities and be open and honest about what you're learning, what you're thankful for, and what you're struggling with. Parents, we need to make every effort to pass on the gospel to our kids. Well, as we come to the end, we've got our boat again. The boat reminds us that everybody leaves a legacy, that's right. And will your legacy, like the wake behind that boat, fade away into nothing, or will it be a legacy that lasts forever? Will your legacy be a legacy of passing on the gospel to future generations? So we've got a question for all of us today. How are you going to make sure the gospel is passed on? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help all of us to pass on the gospel to younger generations. Help us to be faithful in praying. Help us to invest. Help us to engage. And Lord, may you work powerfully through us in all of our weakness. Amen.